No.
You know, when the guys put down the recorders, it reminds me. The first ever video, internet video, that my wife showed me, there was a Rav who comes into Shir, and he begins the Shir, and all the boys who are sitting with him, begin to put down the recorders. Before long, he looks up, the room is empty, and there's a bunch of recorders there. And then he takes out his recorder, and he presses play, and he walks out. Okay. When a person is involved with Iyun HaTorah, there is no need for Dveikus at all. So of course the classic philosophical problem that Reb Chaim Volozhiner has been dealing with us for the last few weeks has been the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. And we're finite. And how could we connect with him? In other words, we could daven to him. We could turn to him. But how do we actually connect with him? So Reb Chaim Volozhiner explained to us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's infinite, the only essence of his that we can connect to is his Ratzon. And Torah is the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the goal of connection through Talmud Torah is not an emotional connection, but it's to become one with the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he concludes this paragraph in Perek Yud in a very poignant way. V'hu yisparach ritzonah v'dibur ochad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Ratzon and his Dibur are one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Dibur and his Ratzon are one. They're inseparable. And this is what's expressed in the Medrash Rabba. Adam lokeach chepetz. If a person buys an object, shema yachol liknos pailov, could he buy its owner? In other words, you can't buy the owner of the object. If Reuven sells Shimon something, so when Shimon buys it, Shimon buys the object, but he doesn't buy Reuven. Av HaKadosh Baruch Hu nasan Torah liYisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to HaYisrael. Va'omer lehem. And he says to him, "Kaviyachol liatim lachim." It's as if you're taking me. In other words, when we get Torah, we don't simply get the Torah itself. We're getting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that chefetz. V'zeh shekasu v'kamekomos b'zohar. That's what the Zohar says. D'kutcha berichu v'oraisa chad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah is one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah are absolutely inseparable. You can't separate the two. In other words, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is mamish his ratzon. And that's the only part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we could relate to. And that's how we become one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu intellectually. Quoting from the Zohar, V'lamadnu she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu nikra Torah, v'ein Torah el HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'gam, ki sharsha elyon shel HaTorah HaKadosh Hu be'elyon sheva olamos. The source of the Torah is starts from the highest of worlds. Now here we're going to be introduced to a very important Kabbalistic concept. Hanikraim, this worlds are called Olamos Ein Sof. They're the world of Ein Sof. The world of Ein Sof is as follows. Or the existence of Ein Sof is as follows. All of you have heard of Sphiros, correct? You've heard of the idea of Sphiros? Sphiros are, let's define what it is, another important word, is the Hishtalshalus. Hishtalshalus means the going down of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina is, as described in Nefesh HaChaim in another place, one utensil going into another utensil going into another utensil, where we use the image of utensils because that's helpful, because it shows us an area that holds something. So Kaviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu emanates from a place called Ein Sof, and that emanation goes into what we call the Sfiros of Chachma and Bina and Chesed and Gevura, etc., etc. All of those things are receptacles that capture HaKadosh Baruch Hu's emanation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself comes from a place of what we call in English infinity, but what's referred to in Kabbalah, actually the same thing, Ein Sof, a place of where there isn't an end. Ein Sof. So now, Reb Chaim Volozhiner says in Shardal Perik Yud, the third paragraph, V'gam kishar she'elyon shel haTorah kedosha, hu be'elyon shel olamos. The source of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the root of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is in those upper worlds. Hanikraim olamos ein sof. They are called the worlds of ein sof. Sod hamalbush hanela. And that is the secret of the dressing that is hidden. What does he mean, the dressing that is hidden? The dressing that is hidden is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's emanations into these spheros. These spheros are also called a levush. They're something that dresses, or what we said, holds those emanations. The secret of it is that all of it comes from a place of Ein Sof. And Torah emanates from that place. Shehu reishis sod osios haTorah kedosha. That place has the secrets of all of the letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Ukimosha kosov, and the pasuk in Mishlei describes Torah as it speaks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem kanoni reishis darko, kedem mifalov me'oz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu owned me even before creation. And that's what it means that it precedes the world. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation emanates from Torah, and Torah precedes everything else. Shari Yomru Rebeishis Rabu, because Medrash says, Shekadma L'Kisei HaKavod. That Torah comes from a place of Ein Sof, and that's prior to Kisei HaKavod. If you take our analogy further, of the Spheros being the Kalim that hold HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kisei HaKavod represents the Shekhinah sitting on something. That the Kisei HaKavod itself is below Ein Sof. Ein Sof is quite a bit above that. Torah precedes the sources, the roots of Torah, precedes even the Kisei HaKavod. Shekadma l'Kisei HaKavod. Va'emes, shekidma kaviyachol gam la'olam atzilus yisparach. And it's even prior to the place called Atzilus. Before you have all the spheros, you have an area that's called Atzilus. Atzilus is the first place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah emanates from. By the way, notice, Shekhinah is a feminine term. That's why we refer to the Shekhinah as He, Hey Yud Aleph, because it's feminine, She. The Shekhinah is not the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as male, Atah, Baruch Atah. Incidentally, my Rebbe, Rabbi Braunschweig, one of my great Rebbe, but he was the first one that really taught me to learn. So he was close friends with someone who, in many ways, from his perspective, had gone off the derech. And he was a very, very, originally, they were for years and years very close friends, and then they went in different directions. So my Rebbe was describing how painful it was, and he said he remembers reading an article that he wanted, in order to enamor himself to feminists, begin to referring to God as she and not he. And when my Rebbe said that, he began to cry, the pain of his friend going off the derech. Why did that pain my Rebbe so much? Because there are issues of distorting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for some reason, the area of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Ein Sof is male. The Shekhinah is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu emanates to the world, starting from the world of Atzilus and the Kisei HaKavod that was mentioned, and Sfiros and so on. That is referred to in the feminine. But if you mix them up, then Chas V'Chalila, you could be throwing things out of balance. Now, I don't know all of Kabbalah to understand why it's out of balance, but I know that my Rebbe felt that by doing that was changing the balance. So these things, that these subtle changes that seem to be innocuous, sometimes could be deeply, deeply undermining the exact system that we have in terms of what the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, what Shekhinah is, and so on. Back inside. Dibar Masa L'gam Kisharsha. Va'emes. Shekadma kaviyachol gam lo'olamos atzilus yisparach. So Torah doesn't stem from that highest place where the Shekhinah emanates, which is called the world of Atzilus. Atzilus means the first step of removal of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, the closest place, to the highest place, which is right below Ein Sof. Torah comes, its shoresh is not in Atzilus, shorish of Torah is in Ein Sof itself. Elashat Silas Nikra Ayin, we won't define that now. Umisoda Kise Maschil Sod Shir Koma Kaviyachal. The Shir Koma, which means literally the height, is referring to the Sviros, because the Sviros are built where we have it's almost shaped, I won't get into now, it's almost shaped like the human body, starting from the head all the way down to the legs. So starting from Chachma all the way down to Malchus. So that's called the Shir Koma. So says Reb Chaim Volozhiner that the Sod HaKisei, the Kisei HaKavod, starts from that highest place right below Atzilus. But Torah's roots are even above that. L'chein Amru Shekadma L'Kisei HaKavod. That's why it says that Torah preceded the Kisei HaKavod. V'lachein Bo Netzlu V'Nivru Kol Olamos Elyon V'Tachton. So there's God's essence, Ein Sof, and then there are going to be two other parts that immediately emanate from Ein Sof. And they are Klal Yisrael and Torah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world, so the first thing that emanates from that place of Ein Sof are the letters of Torah. Torah is the DNA of the entire creation of the world. V'lachem. The words of Torah, which are the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the way, it's not only the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in rational sense, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have one of the Aseres HaDibros to be Kabed Es Avicha VeEsimecha. Not only that, but it's also that all of Kabbalah and all the secrets of Torah, there's a whole other domain of Torah that we don't learn in yeshiva, at least for our first 20-25 years, and that is that the letters of Torah, the Tzirif HaOsios of Torah, make up something that's magical and mysterious, that's at the source of all creation. So you have God's rational will in Torah, and also the higher levels, like if you would call the advanced chemistry. You and I don't understand the advanced chemistry. I won't speak for the guys here, maybe somebody, actually my daughter studies chemistry. And I look at her equations, I have no idea what she's got on that paper. So the common man, when he looks at any bit of material, he doesn't see all those complicated equations. He just sees the actual material itself. So in Torah, you could see the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the moral will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but all the chemical makeup, all the complicated advanced chemistry, that you don't see. Because where's that? That's in the Sisrei Torah. Those are the secrets of the way in which the letters of Torah are put together. And, Al Pi Kabbalah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world by joining together different letters in different ways. V'lachem. Bo Netzlu V'Nivru Kol Olamos Elyon V'Tachton. From those letters, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all the worlds. And here we have an interesting take on the Pasuk in Mishlei. Kemosha Kosov Veheya Etzlo Amon. It will be for you. Now, Amon is a maidservant. An Amon would be a woman who comes to help a woman who has given birth. That's an Amon. The Torah will be for you like a maidservant. In other words, without Torah, you're not going to be able to survive giving birth to things in this world. You're not going to be able to survive successfully managing everything. Torah is going to be, that's the literal meaning of the Pasuk in Mishlei. Torah is for you, the maidservant that helps you through life. Without it, you're not going to be successful. But Chazal understand it a different way. Va'amru, Chazal say, Al tikri amon ela uman. It doesn't mean a maidservant. Notice how Chazal turned on his head. And this is something, it actually gets involved with our Musar today. This is something that I think a lot of people don't realize. There are many people who are observant Jews who look at their observancy, their observance, as a expression of being healthy, functional, religious people. That sounds pretty good, no? Healthy, functional, religious people, that sounds pretty good. And therefore, Torah is the guide that helps them to be healthy, functional, religious people. Reb Chaim Volozhiner points out that that's really, at its essence, a oversimplification of what Torah is about. Or even sharper, it's a superficial understanding of what Torah is about. Torah is the way in which, notice, That formulation, healthy, functional, what was our third thing I said? Healthy, functional?
Religious
people. Reb Chaim Volozhiner points out that those things, healthy, functional, and religious, really don't get to the essence of the power of what Torah is. And if you think about it, the people that you know who are deeply connected to Torah versus the people that you know who are healthy, functional, religious people, you'll see that there is a big gap. And that, I think, is this medrash over here. The pasuk says that Torah is there to help you, just like a woman who gives birth. She needs someone to help her give birth. She needs someone to help her after the baby is born to run the house and to do everything and to take care of the baby when she's too tired, who's going to get up and take care of the baby and so on. That's a functional relationship. That's the word amon as a maidservant. Look back inside. Al tikri amon elo uman. The Torah is not simply that which is a maidservant, but it creates. It's the source of all creation. What's Torah for us? Is Torah a way to have a healthy religious lifestyle? Or is Torah about the fact that we're partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to us the power of creativity that comes, that emanates from Him Himself? Because that power of creativity, that Kodesh Baruch Hu created the entire world, is all in the Torah. Now, Reb Chaim Volozhiner describes in Shar Aleph that we create galaxies with every word of Torah we learn. The galaxies, though, we don't necessarily see. We don't necessarily see them. But we have that power of creativity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are some people who look at Torah that we need to keep halachot in order to have that healthy, functional lifestyle. Some people understand that Torah is one in which we become partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that partnering creates in us an entirely different mahus, an entirely different essence. Not just our actions are different, that we don't go there and we do go there, but our entire essence becomes transformed. And in the world of Kabbalah that we can't see, we create spiritual galaxies. We create things and we destroy things. By the way, what's amazing about that is there is no way you're hearing me and it sounds like, okay, you know, the rabbi is saying it, so I can't prove him wrong, but I can't prove him right. I don't know if it's right. I don't know if it's wrong. If you're sitting here and you're thinking that, that's okay, because the first time I read Nefesh HaChaim, I also thought the same thing. So it's all, you know, there's no way to test that, what Reb Chaim Volozhiner describes in Shar Aleph. But I wanted you to think about something, and that is that for thousands of years, Chazal spoke about worlds upon worlds upon worlds. Science's awareness of there's anything aside from Earth and a couple of planets and the sun and the moon, only is someone help me out here, I'm not asking for a fancy scientific equation. How long ago did scientists realize that there were galaxies upon galaxies? I think it's only 200 years, I think. Chazal spoke about galaxies upon galaxies upon galaxies, olamos al pi olamos v olamos, for thousands of years. They're a midrashim. So, I can't prove that there are spiritual galaxies, but all I do know is that Chazal were aware that there were physical galaxies way before, or they spoke about physical galaxies. I don't think that they understood exactly what they meant, but they understood from Torah that there were physical galaxies that they couldn't feel and see, but they understood. And we also believe, Reb Chaim Volozhiner believes, that there are spiritual galaxies that we create and we destroy with our actions. Now, the truth is that all of this understanding only came about in the last 300, 400 years. The whole idea that there is a world that we can't see with our naked eye. And now we know for sure that those things exist. People didn't believe that there was anything that existed that they weren't able to see with their naked eye. But we know that that's not true. So there might be things that we don't understand, we can't feel, and so on and so forth, and we can't sense, and science still can't study. But science also wasn't able to study the galaxies of the worlds that Chazal spoke about. So now we come back to the point. Torah is the source of all creation. The letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah are the source of all creation. And therefore, a life of Torah is not simply a life of religious lifestyle, but rather a life of Torah as a person becomes one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that power of creativity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. If we're zochet to learn together Shar Aleph, we'll understand more about what that means to partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way. Here, Reb Chaim Volozhin is talking more about Torah, and so one has to learn Shar Aleph to really understand the depth of what we're saying. Let's do one more paragraph. The Ha'inyan. Ke'atorah kdosha hu diburo yisparach. This concept could be understood when we recognize that Torah is the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'b'maymer piv yisparach b'maysev bereishis. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he creates the world, what it says, Vayomer Elokim, what is that Amira? All of those Amiras are through this complicated equations of the letters of Torah being brought together. And just like I have no idea what my daughter is writing when she has all these fancy equations of biochemistry, so too you and I, when we read Vayomer Elokim Yiyar, we really don't understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it together. We know that there is Or, but we don't understand how all of that works, but a person can. Just like a person can who doesn't know science won't be able to describe how, in a scientific way, light works, but someone who does know science can. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Tzirah Ha'osios, created not just the sun, but a universe with universes and universes on top of it. And with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words of Torah, Nivru Olamos Kulam. So we, when we attach to ourselves to those worlds of Torah, we're becoming attached to that creativity of nothing less than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shall yidei sidur gilgul tzirufei osios al piseder hareish lamed aleph she'arim panim v'acharshim bereishis braba. There's a sefer by the Ramchal, where the Ramchal spells out reish lamed aleph. What's reish lamed aleph? 231 different permutations of the Shemos Hashem and different psukim in the Torah, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. All of the creation was through these very, very complicated permutations. By the way, has anybody seen a siddur of Mikubalim that Mikubalim daven from? So what you will have is you will have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages of all different formulations of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are all part of Chelek of Bria. So you and I just know Hashem Elokeinu, that was supposed to be Mechavein, HaYehovah V'yeh, Elokeinu means our God. But Al-Pi Kabbalah, all of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu have thousands, tens of thousands different permutations, which all of them, and that's what Mekubalim tried to do, is try to be Mechavein to some of them, all of those different permutations and what they mean, all of that is connected to the Bria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of this world. B'chol seder matzalim prati inyonim b'chol nichlamem v'chein b'chol maimer shebo u'maimer aderech ha'anal nivru kol prati haminim v'inyonim she'osa suk shalov nemar oso ha'mamar. So this is really a powerful thing that we can't understand entirely, but what it does do is opens up to us the idea of why Torah is so directly connected to the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to repeat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world through the experience of Hishtalshalus, where from Ein Sof, HaKadosh Baruch Hu emanates everything through the Sfiros. That creation that takes place through the Sfiros starts with Torah. In other words, with Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world, and therefore, when we learn Torah, what we're doing is we're connecting to that source of creation. It manifests in another way, in a logical way. And that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite and we're finite. How do we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite and we're finite. The answer is the only way for us to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has no essence, is through the Ratzon of Hashem. The Ratzon of Hashem is His Torah. Now you and I understood 3 weeks ago that what does it mean that the Ratzon of Hashem is His Torah? We understood that what it means is that's the moral will of God.
So when I learn Torah and understand the moral will of God and I live it, so then I become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Comes along Reb Chaim Volozhin and says, now I'm going to give you what we would call the Kabbalistic model. They're not sosar each other. But he's saying there's something even beyond that. It's beyond simply becoming connected to the moral will of God, but it's actually becoming connected to the source of all of creation. That we don't understand because we don't understand the metaphysics. But if we would, we would realize that learning Torah is bringing us back to the source of everything in the world. So Reb Chaim Volozhin is saying, Rabosai, you came in the beginning of the year and you were looking for inspiration. Says Reb Chaim Volozhin 250 years ago, people are coming into the Beis Medrash and you're looking for inspiration in Avodas Hashem. And you're not focusing on Torah, Mishnayos, and Gemara, and Halachos. You're focusing on Sifrei Musar. He says, you're selling yourself short. You're looking for ortho practice. You're looking to make sure that you're good people. That's great. It's important. And without it, Chas v'chalila, all these equations you could distort and you could send it into the Sitra Acher. You could pervert it, and then you could be a mad scientist who takes things and distorts and kills. So for sure you need Yirah Shamayim. But don't think the Yirah Shamayim alone is the essence of what Torah is. The essence of Torah is something that's much bigger. The essence of Torah is when an individual becomes one with the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a rational plane and on a Kabbalistic plane. And if you're just going to focus on the practical things, then you're going to be missing the essence of what Torah is all about. Because Torah is not about a lifestyle. Torah is something more. Actually, continuing on that theme, let's go to the Parsha. Does anybody have a Chamisha Chum Sheitor? I see there's a Tanakh over here. I need a full Bible. Anybody have one? Just the Old Testament.
Next RC.
Great. Shko, thank you very much. All of us know that Yisro suggests to Moshe Rabbeinu that Moshe Rabbeinu, on a superficial way, seems to be overwhelmed. I could relate to that every once in a while in the afternoon when the three Talmidim that are waiting to speak and then I have to prepare the shir and then by the way, sometimes I have Rachmanas on your Rabbeim when they're swamped. So Lahavdil El Falfi Avdol, so Moshe Rabbeinu seems swamped. That's what Yisro says. And he suggests that Yisro create a system. By the way, never feel guilty to ask the Rebbe that you want to speak to him. I think that that's as much the Rebbe's responsibility as it is to teach Torah, if not more. So, but at the same time, Rabbeim could sometimes be swamped. And what happens is that Moshe Rabbeinu is suggested to appoint Sarei Alofim, Sarei Chamishim, Sarei Asaros. And we won't discuss that system of how it works, but I want to focus on the description of the Dayanim themselves. And the Torah Kedosha tells us in this week's parasha that he says, Va'at Perik Yudches Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Yisro suggests, Va'ata Sechza Mikol Ha'om Anshei Chayil Yirei Elokim Anshei Emesonei Vetzah. You should choose, notice the description, people of valor, whatever valor means, okay, God, people who fear God, people who are truthful, and they're not corrupt. Sounds like good judges, not bad. Sounds like a fair. I think you and I might have suggested something similar that Yisro suggests. But Abarbanel points out that in Sefer Dvarim, in Perek Aleph, Pasuk, Yud Gimel, the Torah Akdosha says, Havu lachem anashim chachamim unevoinim v'iduim. This actually is one of the most important descriptions of knowledge in Kol HaTorah Kula. And that is, we know it, unfortunately it's become a little bit politicized, but it never was meant to be. We know it as Chabad. Chachma, Bina, and Das. Chachma, Bina, Das, according to some systems of Kabbalah, we spoke about the Hishtalshulus of the Sfiros. The first three spheres, according to some systems, is Chachma, Bina, and Das. That means the highest thing closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu within already the system of Hishtalshus, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina begins to emanate through those Kelim. Chachma bin Adas. So it's interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu is suggested one thing, and Sefer Devarim, he describes appointing different Dayanim. The question is, of what significance is that? Number two is, if you read the Pesukim carefully, there's another difference. If you take a look, Yisro says, you're going to judge the Dovar HaGadol, and Moshe Rabbeinu is going to judge the Dovar, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are going to judge the Dovar HaGadol, and the other judges are going to judge the small things. But if you take a look in Devarim, that's not how it's described. In Devarim, it's described as, the Dovar HaKoshe, that the difficult things will be taken to Moshe Rabbeinu. So we have two questions. Number one, why in Devarim is it mentioned the level of judges as Chachma bin Adas? And the other question is, why is it that, in contrast, of course, to the pasuk in Yisro that says honest people? And the second question is, why is it that Dovar HaGadol is emphasized in Yisro as going to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Dovar HaKoshe is emphasized in Devarim? The answer to that question that Abar Binel learns is that there was actually a profound disagreement between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yisro, which is not the simple shot in the pasuk, right? Sounds like that he did exactly what he was supposed to. But there is an interesting comment in the Medrash Halacha. The parsha concludes in this week's parsha, Vayas Kol Asher Amar. He did everything that he was told. Sounds like he did everything that Yisro was told. Moshe did everything Yisro was told. There is a Medrash that says, Vayas Kol Asher Amar Lo Elokim. He did everything that God told him. In other words, the Medrash is alluding to the fact that there were things that Moshe Rabbeinu understood was not the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there was something HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted was different. And that's why in Devarim, the Dayanim are described in a different way. They're described as Dayanim, as Chachma, Bina, and Das. To understand what the Machlokas is, we need to recognize, according to Abar Binel, there was a fundamental disagreement between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yisro, and you're going to see our two themes. The theme from Nefesh HaChaim and the theme from this week's parsha are going to connect. There's a fundamental disagreement of how one understands the world of halacha. Let's focus on where judges are, and that is the world of Choshen Mishpat. All right, a little bit of philosophy, Rabbi Osai, especially your parents who are worried about that you're not getting a college education. So let me just give you 20 seconds of philosophy. I always joked when I was a Shana Bet Rebbe before I started teaching in the Smicha program, I always joked that it was my job in Shana Bet to make sure that my students were still not getting rusty for college. So we used to try to use a good vocabulary word for every shiur and also throw in bits of philosophy and so on. So here is the philosophy for today. There was an English philosopher whose name was Thomas Hobbes. Hobbes was a rationalistic philosopher. He wasn't into, anything but things that were very clear and rational. And Hobbes describes that the role of government, he has a very, very important treatise, would ultimately became part, a large part of the Enlightenment in England, as well as the American Constitution. And he writes that the role of government is to create a civilized and functional society. And he says that's a responsibility that has to be executed by the government and the courts. Thomas Hobbes, I believe an 18th century philosopher. That's the role of government. It's a very beautiful idea. And what, of course, Hobbes is rallying against is the idea that you're going to have a monarchy and somehow a monarchy is going to make sure that everybody gets fair treatment. That's ridiculous because, at least ridiculous, in England in the 16th, 17th, and 18th century. Because at the end of the day, the king is by nature always going to want to defend his own interest, as opposed to the interest of the common man. And therefore, you need to set up a system that is functional in a governmental and with a healthy jurisprudence. Okay, so that's Hobbes' idea. The truth is, Hobbes' idea is preceded by Mishnah Navos. The Mishnah Navos tells us, "Heaven mispal l'shlom malchus, you should daven for the welfare of the kingdom." Debelim moro means all kingdoms, whether it's the United States or it's England or it's South Africa. Heaven mispal l'shlom malchus, debelim moro ishes reo below. If you don't have a sense of, if people don't have a sense of the fear of government, so then, God forbid, man is going to, literally, the Mishnah Avos is more vivid than Hobbes. The Mishnah Avos says a man will swallow another man up. So we need law and jurisprudence in order to create a functional society, both according to the Mishnah Avos, as well as Thomas Hobbes, as well as Yisro. Comes along Yisro, and Yisro says, we need people that fear God, because without the fear of God, they won't be honest. Comes along Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, you're misunderstanding halacha. You're looking at halacha as simply a way to create a functional society. You know, there are people who look at halacha that way. I've mentioned to you in the past that there's some people who choose to send their children to Orthodox schools because they're less likely that their boys will get into drugs, and God forbid, both of the things, that their girls would become pregnant in high school. So they choose an Orthodox lifestyle. It's worth it. So you have to buy a house closer to shul. You have to walk. You can't drive. Okay. But in the long run, we'll actually have a healthier lifestyle, functional lifestyle, if we're Orthodox. And Shabbos is really nice because it's family time. And Rabbi said it's all beautiful. It's all emes. But it's not the essence, as we argue in Nefesh HaChaim. Comes along Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, no. Halacha is not simply a way in which we go, that this is the way we're supposed to act, this is the way we go, but rather halacha is something more. It's v'halachta bidrachav. It's a partnership with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not about creating a functional lifestyle, but rather it's a way in which we become partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to explain b'siyata d'shmaya what that means to become partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'halachta bidrachav, it's an entirely different system of halacha. And you look at it, like I said in Nefesh HaChaim, you look around your community, you'll see that there are people who live Yisro's approach, and there are people who live Moshe Rabbeinu's approach. By the way, that explains why Yisro says, es hadavar ha-gadol. Yisro says, the big things will go to you. Moshe Rabbeinu says, the big things, it's not the big things that's important, it's the hard things. Because Yisro, like most society today, most civilized society today, says that at the end of the day you need a successful jurisprudence in order to be able to make sure that society functions. Which means then, that what's the most important thing in terms of making a healthy society function? A healthy economy. That means the most profound disagreements that wind its way to the Supreme Court, or a significant amount of them, are ones that have profound implication for the economic system in the world. But what happens if you have a very, very complicated shaila in the Constitution, but the shaila is only about $10? Is that going to make its way to the Supreme Court? No. The judge is going to say, okay, it's a complicated thing, but I'll decide it on my own. Why? Because it doesn't make a big deal. But if we're dealing with an issue that's in between Microsoft and Intel, then if you're talking about that, if there's a clash between those two, so then there's so much more that's at stake in creating a functional society. So that goes to the highest judges. Comes along Moshe Rabbeinu and says, no. Halacha is not only about a functional society. Halacha is about an encounter with emes with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, it's not about Dover HaGadol, Dover HaKatan. What's going to come to me is a Dover HaKasha. It could be a case of about $10. But at the end of the day, Torah is about being Mevarer HaEmes. And if you think about it, somehow Klal Yisrael has managed to maintain that value. The simple shailas that could have import of millions and millions of dollars, that a Bezdin, a small Bezdin, will decide. Hopefully it's an honest Bezdin. But with Reb Chaim Kanievsky, they'll go and they'll ask a question. According to this sif in Shulchan Aruch, there's a stira, how am I yashev for shaila v'pruta? The things that no one could truly answer, because when it comes to us, for us, the halacha is not about creating a functional society. Halacha is about a bikush ha-emes, a search for truth. In our world today, the search for truth has been entirely lost. And there's one place that you could find it, and that's in a Beis Medrash. I remember when I might have mentioned this to you in the past, when I went back to America, one of the first times, so interesting, it was only after I had come to Israel that I noticed it. that I was driving down the FDR, and they have these massive billboards. I don't have to describe them to you. Most of them were al pi halacha. We can't look at it. Every once in a while, you'll be allowed to look at it. So you don't have them here in Israel. But we're talking about 5-6 stories. And it was an advertisement for Nissan. There was this bright yellow Nissan car. Cool looking car, bright yellow. What's important was what it said underneath. What it said underneath was, be a saint, be a sinner, just be. Now, I have no idea how that line will get somebody to buy a car. But someone spent a lot of money researching it and figured out that people will buy a car because of that. But the message that we got, sometimes it wasn't so explicit, but we got subliminally when we grew up in Western culture was the idea that everything in the world is relative. Just be. They don't say it usually as sharp as be a sinner, be a saint, be a sinner, just be. But the idea is it's all about satisfying what you want, just be. So therefore you should buy this because this is going to make you feel happy, which is absolutely crazy. But that you've already thought about, I hope, already by now. But I want to talk about something that's a lot deeper. And that is the messages that we got that there's just, life is just about being. The whole notion that there's an emes and that there's a sheker. There's a right way to read Rashi and there's a wrong way to read Rashi. The pasuk means this or the pasuk means that. That's what the Beis Medrash represents. And that's what we're supposed to represent to the entire world. And that's why you're spending and quote unquote wasting so much time breaking your head over reading a Rashi like this or reading a Rashi like that. I'm sure every once in a while it ran through your mind. Why are we spending another day on Shir on why we're reading, whether Rashi means this or Rashi means that? Why are we spending another day? Let's go on. And you know what? The odds are that after another day, you still won't come up with a fine hope shot. So why is your Rebbe working on it again? For that matter, why are you learning Eon in the morning? At the end of the day, why don't we just be davening up, Dapim of Gemara, and you guys are Blihain are smart guys, and memorize. And you'll know much more. Instead of knowing one Masechta, you can know 5, 6, 7. But if you read every Rashi and get stuck in every Tosis is Kasha, it's not going to happen. And that's the answer, Rabosai. Because that Kasha is predicated on the idea that life is about information and creating a functional society that you need to know what to do. But Limud HaTorah HaKadosh is something else. It's the last bastion of a statement that we believe that there's something called emes. And then when Rashi wrote it like this, he meant like this. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu formulates the pasuk this way, it makes all the difference in the world. But that requires Iyun, it requires Amelus, it requires hard work. That's reason number one of why we learn Be'iman. Moshe Rabbeinu was responding to Yisrael, and he says, no, your understanding of what halacha is entirely distorted. What we're looking for is to try to understand the truth in everything, and even the Davar HaKasha. And Yadus doesn't run away from the Davar HaKasha. Second value of learning Be'iman is not only a statement to ourselves and to the world, that there's something called emes, but it also consumes, if a person does it right, it consumes our entire being, our entire essence. I love to tell the story that Rav Shach, when he was about 75 years old, the doctor told him that he has to get more sleep at night. Rav Shach would often be so involved in the sugya that he just didn't go to sleep, or he would wake up in the middle of the night. So the doctor told the Rebbetzin that she needs to make sure that Rav Shach's in bed at 11. So she told him that the doctor said he has to be in bed. The Rebbetzin woke up at 2 in the morning to go to the bathroom, and Rav Shach was out of bed. He was learning at the dining room table. So she needs to figure out. He just can't control himself. He knows that this is what the doctor says, but the sugya was bothering him. So the next night, what does she do? She asks one of the Talmidim. She doesn't know the electricity in their apartment, but she asks one of the Talmidim who lived right next to the yeshiva in Bnei Brak. She asks one of the Talmidim to put out the fuse box. So now all the lights are going to be out. So he's going to get up in the middle of the night. She's not going to handcuff him to the bed. He's going to get up. He's going to try to turn on the light, and it's going to be dark. She gets up in the middle of the night. It's dark in the house, but she sees, or she doesn't see. She could sense that he's not in the bed. She goes, she begins to look for him. Sure enough, Rav Shach went to the Beis Medrash. in his pajamas. They had an expression in Panovich, you know, here in Israel. I don't know if you've ever heard, there's a song that we sing on Pesach night called Paro b'pijama b'emtza halayla. I don't know if you've heard it. Zochet to sing. So they used to joke that in Panovich they used to sing Rav Shach b'pijama b'emtza halayla. That there were times that Rav Shach would even was so excited that he needed to get a sefer, he would run in the middle of the night to the Beis Medrash in his pajamas. He would put his frock over his pajamas, but still in pajamas, he would run to get a sefer. Sure enough, Rav Shach is learning in the Beis Medrash. So what does she do the next night? So the next night, she decides she's going to put out the fuse box, and she's going to have one of the Talmidim lock him in the apartment. He was going to lock the apartment from the outside. So now Rav Shach is trapped. She wakes up in the middle of the night, it's pitched back, but she feels around. Rav Shach is not in his bed. She begins to search the house. Poor Rebbetzin, she has to find a candle now. She doesn't even know how to. So she's searching around with a candle, like B'dikas Chametz, searching around for Rav Shach. Nowhere to be found. He's trapped inside the house. Nowhere to be found. By the way, it's a fire hazard. Don't tell the Rebbetzin not to do that again. So, she's looking around. She's not there. Finally, she goes to the laundry room. In the laundry room, often you have in Israel a boiler. The boiler has, like, if you turn back by the air conditioner, you see that red button. It has a red button like that, an LED light. That when it's on, it has a tiny bit of light. Rav Shach is standing on a chair, like this, and he's learning like this. Rabosai, when a person has a love for Torah and has a connection to Iyun HaTorah, then it consumes their entire being. It's not about finishing the daf. It's about entirely being consumed by the desire to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. That is something that Torah transforms us when we learn B'Iyun. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Yisrael. That's V'halachta B'drachav. And you know what? Most 75-year-olds are falling asleep in their lunch. Most 75-year-olds, life has come, life has gone. They've made their money, they haven't made their money. Most of their taivos have already passed. The food doesn't taste as good. The women don't look as pretty. But with Torah, it consumes a person's being until the end, whether we're healthy or chas v'chalila not. And that gift of Iyun b'Torah, where a person's connected to that search of emes, that transforms who we are. That's number two. Number three, I want to start with, you know what? It's 10 o'clock. You know, Mir Tashem, next week, I want to turn this Musar into two parts. So Mir Tashem, so I don't rush through point number three. Of what Iyun b'Torah does, Mirtz Hashem will pick up with it next week. Have a great Shabbos.